Chapter 5. Many people still believe that the Batman is an urban legend. He encourages this, as the stories that are told of him grow with each telling. Half the criminal element in Gotham are terrified of him. The other half are too crazy to care. He sat at one of the workstations in his lair. The Batcave had multiple workstations from which one could access the networked supercomputers that he used. It was the big monitor. He knew the various Robins would occasionally use the big monitor to play video games on. It wasn't something he encouraged, but he pretended not to know. Dick and Tim continued to sneak around, pretending that they didn't know that he knew. At the moment, he was working on updating case files. Not new ones, but cold case files that were still open. It had been an oddly quiet month in Gotham. The biggest piece of excitement had been a near riot in Arkham, sparked by the Scarecrow. But it had broken up by the time he'd gotten there. Nothing major. Some street crime, a few domestic disturbances that even the GCPD had been able to handle. But organized crime? The metahuman criminal element? The rogues? Had been laying low for the past few weeks. He didn't like the quiet. It usually meant someone was up to something. He'd spent the previous night shaking down every informant he could get his hands on, but no one knew anything. Everyone was simply laying low. It was maddening! He glanced over his shoulder towards the folding cot next to the uniform vault. Batgirl was asleep on the cot. She was out of her uniform, wearing a thin sweater and nothing else that was obvious. It was black. He knew Alfred and Babs had attempted to interest the girl in clothes of a different color, any other color, but she'd decided that she liked wearing black, all the time. He suspected that it was her own way of asserting her individuality. It was something she herself liked, something that hadn't been imposed on her. She'd swung by the night before from Bloodhaven, seeking out Alfred's cookies. She'd not only gone through her supply, but Tim's supply as well. Alfred, unfortunately, had not had any on hand, and offered to bake some for her first thing in the morning. It was just easier for her to stay the night, then leave and come back. Bloodhaven's nights had been as quiet as Gotham's lately, so he knew Tim would be able to handle things until she got back later tonight. This time, well rested. It was already daylight outside, well past the time that he should have gone to bed. But the lack of activity from the past few nights were playing havoc with his schedule. He felt like he hadn't accomplished nearly enough, and ended up staying up till past noon, which shortchanged him as far as sleep went. Alfred's soft step on the stair caught his attention, but he pretended that he hadn't noticed. He also pretended that the polite throat clearing hadn't happened either.
"Master Bruce, you have a visitor."
He turned then, his cowl down and revealing his face. He quirked an eyebrow at the expression on his butler's face. It was studiously blank, but years of living with the man had given Bruce Wayne special insight into the expressions of Alfred Pennyworth. There was a tiny twist of distaste at the corner of his mouth, just enough to let Bruce know that whoever the visitor was, he was unwelcome.
"A Mr. Lex Luthor to see you, sir. I've taken the liberty of situating him in the Peach drawing-room," he added after a moment. "He should be quite at home with the cheap decor. I have the security cameras recording his every movement."
The Batman rose, shedding his cape and cowl messily on the back of the seat. He walked to the costume vault, stripping his shirt and kicking his boots off carelessly. Alfred offered him a pair of gray pajama pants, slippers, and a burgundy smoking jacket.
"Did he say what he wants?"
he asked gravelly, slipping into the change of clothes.
"I did not inquire, sir. All he would tell me was that it was urgent and of the utmost importance. He would not take no for an answer, and frankly, he was quite on the verge of rudeness in his insistence."
Alfred paused to consider it.
"He seemed desperate, sir."
A grunt was all the reply Alfred got. Bruce was still in the process of shifting gears. At the moment, he was still the Batman, wearing Bruce Wayne's clothes. With every step, he shed just a little bit more of that intensity, a bit more of the scowl. He slipped into an expression of vicious imbecility, as easily as he slid into the clothes. The light of intelligence in his eyes gutted out, becoming sleepy and half-lidded. That, and a quick tousle of his hair, made him look as though he'd just gotten out of bed. Alfred, with his masterful expertise, passed him a hair-of-the-dog-style soda water with a pickled olive in a martini glass, as a prop. The last time Bruce had seen Lex personally, the man was strung out on a strange mix of the superpowered steroid Venom and liquid kryptonite. He'd been wearing an apocalypse-produced battlesuit and was ranting, raving, and clearly in the throes of a psychotic break. The hollowed-out shell of the Lex Tower building collapsing on top of him was believed to have ended up serving as his tomb. At the time, he'd known with a certainty born of long experience that Lex Luthor had survived. He'd expected the ex-president to hide out until it was advantageous to show himself once more. His appearance before Congress 2 weeks later, one leg and both arms broken, a vari-colored mass of bruises across his face, had caught everyone by surprise. Lex had been contrite and regretful and mournful, struggling to speak through a jaw that had been wired shut. He'd painted himself as swept up by a problem beyond his control, a drug problem stemming from the loss of his infant daughter during the war with Apocalypse and Warworld. The drugs rendered him paranoid and delusional. He blamed himself for not having realized it earlier. He thanked those closest to him for their support in helping him get past the addiction. He pleaded weakness, still being caught up in his detox. Despite all those limitations, he was brilliantly sympathetic. He managed to short-circuit the calls for his impeachment by tendering his resignation and offering to let Pete Ross, his vice president, serve out the rest of his term. The sheer audacity of it, the blatant pondering and shameless tugging at the heartstrings of the American people, had saved him not only from impeachment proceedings, but from dozens of felony charges as well. Under pressure from their constituents, no charges of any sort had been brought up against Lex. Bruce had marveled at the time, and mourned at the gullibility of the public at large. Lex had gotten away. Again. The man had disappeared again right after the fuss of the almost impeachment. It was only now, months later, that he'd resurfaced. Right in Bruce Wayne's peach drawing room. As Bruce, now fully in his foppish Bruce persona, swept through the open double doors, he was struck at the difference between this Lex and the one he'd fought with all of those months ago. For one, he looked as though he'd lost weight. The rippled masses of muscle that the Venom had put on his frame were gone, replaced by the old familiar sleekness that the man had from before he'd taken the Oval Office. No apocalyptic armor, just a well-pressed charcoal Brooks Brothers suit. A bright green silk tie in a half-Windsor knot. Silver, possibly platinum tie clip holding it down. Monogrammed. Sleek was a good word for him. He seemed to fairly gleam with good health, and it wasn't something Bruce could quite put his finger on. Lex was somehow smugly self-satisfied, more so than he'd ever been before. But beyond that, the grasping energy, the endless nervous hunger that seemed to surround the man so often, even in repose, was gone. This was a man who'd found himself, Bruce mused to himself. It was a little unnerving. He was dealing with something new here, he was certain. All of this came to him in the fractions of a second, little enough time for him to keep firm hold on his mask and select the best reaction Bruce Wayne, good old vapid and shallow Bruce Wayne, would have for a former business rival and ex-president who'd shown up at his home out of nowhere.
"Lex, what a pleasant surprise,"
Bruce said grandly, holding out a hand and carelessly allowing some of the soda water to slosh out of his faked-up martini. Lex favored him with a small, tight smile and replied, "Bruce, come now. You don't need to lie so politely. I know my being here is a surprise, but you needn't pretend that it's pleasant. Bruce shrugged negligently, favoring Lex with a sleepy smile.
I was raised to be polite. Lex, let us be direct, then.
Why are you here? He gestured to the chairs, silently inviting Lex to sit, as benefited a gracious host. But watching him warily, he'd spotted Lex's bodyguard-slash-chauffeur-slash-henchwoman Mercy Graves standing next to the door, trying her best to look small and inoffensive. On a woman with her Juno-esque frame, it was a lost cause. Lex took a seat on the proffered overstuffed armchair. It had been upholstered in peach to match the rest of the room. Bruce hated it in this room, but that was what it was built for. The entire place was meant to keep people slightly psychologically imbalanced, with all the decor in a mildly unpleasant color scheme, and the fact that the floor and all the paintings on the walls were just ever so slightly off-level. It was so subtle that only the very perceptive noticed it outright, but everyone else felt themselves just a tiny bit disturbed without knowing why, as their brains kept insisting that something was just wrong about the room. The room's effect seemed lost on Lex as he crossed his legs, his elbows resting on the armrests, fingers steepled together before him.
I'd like to make you an offer, Bruce.
Bruce had carelessly flopped into the chair facing Lex's, and was making a huge show of noisily finishing his martini.
Did you want LexCorp back, Lex? I'm afraid my people have already been hard at work dismantling it. Not much left of it but the name now.
Bruce tried very hard not to show too much satisfaction at the change in Lex's eyes. No change in his expression, but for a moment there was anger. It was quickly hidden away, locked behind Luthor's opaque gaze. Lex chuckled lightly.
That's not it at all, Bruce. I'm glad you took LexCorp. It only served to confirm for me something that's been bothering me for a long time.
Which is what, Lex?
Your secret, Lex said quietly.
Bruce wasn't able to keep himself from tensing his arm just a minuscule amount. He realized that he was squeezing his armchair's armrest, nails digging into the disturbingly peach fabric, for a moment before he forced himself to relax. Alfred, approaching to one side of him, barely managed to hide the minute tremor as he set down the tea for the two men. The tension hadn't escaped anyone, and Lex kept Bruce's gaze. Bruce forced a laugh, making it as light and vapid as ever.
Oh, come on, Lex. I'm an open book. You know as well as I do what it's like to live in the goldfish bowl.
Lex raised a hand, a look of mild disgust on his face.
Bruce, please, don't insult my considerable intelligence by trying to pretend that you don't know what I'm talking about.
I really don't. The secret you've kept from all the good citizens of Gotham City, Bruce. The one that I think you've done your best to hide from yourself. Lex leaned forward, his voice low, his tone urgent. This time the confusion that Bruce felt was sincere. He was almost certain now that Lex wasn't talking about his nocturnal activities as Batman. But what did he mean?
I started to suspect right after the Gotham quake, when you argued so passionately to prevent the No Man's Land order from being pushed through. You failed, but that was mostly because everyone you spoke to couldn't quite see past your dilettante playboy facade. I know the truth, though. You're much, much smarter than you pretend to be.
Bruce raised an eyebrow.
Well, that was unexpected.
I beg your pardon?
Come on, Bruce. You own a thriving major company in dozens of industries. Despite your airhead act, the board of directors hasn't kicked you out, which tells me that somehow you're managing to give them decisions that are working to the company's advantage. All this while maintaining the appearance of a jet-setting ne'er-do-well. You're working very, very hard to look like an idiot, which I can only assume is to make people underestimate you. I know I certainly did. Yet, given all that, you aren't really using it. Lex, come on, you're probably reading way too much. We both know you're far, far brighter than you pretend to be.
Lex rose to his feet and began to pace, his hands clasped behind his back.
I came to an epiphany recently. My advantages, all the things, intellectual, scientific, and financial at my command, I've used them poorly. I've squandered my gifts on pettiness and short-sighted desires when I could have created greatness and wonder.
Bruce watched him intently. This was no Lex Luthor he'd ever encountered before. Even crazed from the drugs, his voice had never had this fervor. This strange maniac zeal that lit his eyes and animated his face. He wanted to interrupt, to ask questions, but Lex continued.
Given an opportunity to stare right into the face of all my wasted chances and bad decisions, I'm choosing to move past them.
He paused in front of the window, taking a moment to admire the well-manicured Wayne lawn. He turned abruptly, facing Bruce once more.
I want to give you the same opportunity that I've had. I really don't understand what you're driving at, Lex. You may not wish to acknowledge it. In fact, you may not be able to acknowledge it, but we are far more alike than you realize, both of us wasting our talents and advantages when we could have been using them to make the world better.
Bruce frowned, not quite comprehending what Lex was driving at, but he disliked the tone.
Are you saying I'm not? Bruce, Lex's voice was pitying. I know you don't want to admit it to yourself, but you aren't operating at anywhere near your full abilities. You've slacked off and pretended to be this brainless buffoon for so long you've forgotten just how gifted you are. All the money you pour into charities, all the good work the Wayne Foundation does, is nothing compared to what you could truly accomplish if you stopped hiding from yourself. I don't think I like your tone, Lex.
Bruce feigned injured pride, but he felt a twinge himself. Lex Luthor, of all people, lecturing him on reaching his full potential. Some part of him had always wondered if Batman truly was the best way to achieve his ends. Some part of him wondered if he really was doing all that he could. To himself, he quietly responded, the lives he'd saved was proof that he was making a difference. But was it enough of one?
Your problem, Bruce, is that in the years you've been slacking off, it's not just a role, it's your defense. Pretend to be stupid, pretend not to know or not to care, and people leave you alone. No big decisions for you, since everyone will assume you're too vacuous or just ignorant to make them. It's time to stop hiding, and time to step up, though, Wayne.
Bruce didn't have to pretend anymore to let the touch of frost creep into his voice.
You said something about an offer, Lex?
Lex smiled at him.
I'm giving you the same chance I got recently. I'm offering you a chance to save the world. Show me some of that passion you had when you were arguing for Gotham. But I want you to show it for the world. I'm losing my patience, Lex. I think it's time for you to go.
Lex cut him off, pulling a pen-sized cylinder from his jacket pocket. He held it out to Bruce.
This is a 10-terabyte USB hard drive. Manufacturing cost, once you've got the facilities set up for it, would be under $20.
Bruce's expression curdled to bafflement once more. What?
You may have bought LexCorp, but the majority of the proprietary processes and patents for our top-selling products were personally in my name. On that drive, I have a digitally scanned file, signing over the manufacturing rights to you. There are a few other schematics and text files outlining other processes and products that we've kept suppressed for years, and a few I came up with over the past few weeks.
What kind of suppressed products?
Lex waved the flash drive. In here, I have a vaccine for AIDS that has shown 98% effectiveness during trials. I have the formula for a single injection that will completely cure muscular dystrophy in 85% of those treated. A second or third dose will cure the remainder. I have a dozen viable cancer treatments that do not involve radiation,
cures and treatments for dozens of diseases. I have procedures for manufacturing genetically tailored bacteria that will consume garbage and produce a tarry sludge that can be processed like crude oil to make gasoline and plastic. I have designs for a processing plant the size of a trailer truck that can take in rocks and debris and manufacture near-impervious, lightweight structures in under an hour. It was originally developed for military applications to create bunkers and hardpoints in the middle of a war zone, but it could easily be retasked for use in disaster sites. Lex gestured grandly. This is only the beginning, Bruce. I have designs for a desk-sized generator fueled by air, sunlight, and water that can run a small American town, but costs less to manufacture than a new car. Imagine seeding those designs to third-world countries, bringing cheap light and power to everyone. Imagine in rural areas here in the U.S., entire towns and cities dropping off the power grid. I have the genetic blueprints for strains of wheat, corn, rice, that are disease-resistant and can thrive in desert environments. I have a wide-range radiation wave projector that can inhibit combustion, useful for firefighting, but it also keeps guns from working. All those wonders and more. Bruce stared. You've been keeping all of these to yourself? Yes, Lex nodded. Why? There wasn't any profit in releasing them before. In some cases, I couldn't find a way to make more money out of them. In others, they would cut into profits from existing ventures. That doesn't matter now, though. Why not? Bruce felt lost at sea. He really couldn't see where Lex was coming from with this, nor where he was going. He tossed the drive at Bruce, who caught it awkwardly. I'm giving all this to you, Lex said. That's my offer. All I ask in return is that you not bury it. I want you to make sure this is all spread far and wide. The confusion was back in force on Bruce's face. You're giving this to me? Here's your chance now, Wayne. Here and now, to make something more. To do more, and create a better world. You've thought about it, but you've been so scared and hiding from what you could accomplish that you never did more than uphold the status quo. Here's a chance now to go beyond that, to make real, tangible improvements to the world. Most of what I have on there will have its opposition. The oil cartels will hate the gas-making bacteria. Power conglomerates will hate the generator. Pharmaceutical companies will hate the drugs and cures, and so on and so on. Lex shook his head. Everyone who has an agenda, everyone who's interested in keeping the status quo, will hate what I've given you. Why would I, though? Bruce said. The vicious mask of Bruce was gone. There was sharpness and an essential intelligence lit clearly behind his eyes. Lex smiled on seeing it. Even assuming all of these work as advertised, supposing that these truly are the world-changing technologies you claim they are, what reason do I have to spread them for you? First is that they truly would be ways to improve the world. I'm giving you the opportunity to do so. One that you've denied yourself over and over. Second, for your shareholders. These all represent massive leaps forward in technologies. Using them puts you far ahead of the pack and will be worth billions to Wayne Tech. Third, if you don't use them, I will take them to someone who will. Maybe Star Labs, maybe Dayton Industries, even Cord Tech. In which case, you'll be finding yourself trying to compete desperately against far superior products and technologies. Unless your managers are smarter and more flexible than I give them credit for, Wayne Tech will be bankrupt inside of 3 years. Lex's voice had dropped as he counted off the reasons. Despite the mid-afternoon sunlight streaming into the room, the light was behind Lex, casting his face entirely in shadow. Come on, Lex. You don't owe me any favors, and we certainly don't like each other. I don't understand why you'd come to me with this. Because I see something in you. Lex met his gaze from the shadows. Because I know, given the chance to make the world better, you would take it. I'm not asking for anything from you. Just that you make sure as many people as possible be given access to my technology. Once upon a time, I might have tried to do it myself. But I've got more things to create. These are all proven technologies that I've moved beyond. When I look back on all the time, money, and effort I wasted on hating Superman, I'm ashamed. I could have made the world paradise, and I still have the chance to do it. He pointed at Bruce. I'm giving you the chance to change it with me. We're more alike than you realize. He frowned at Luthor.
I'm nothing like you.
Right now, that's true.
I've moved past the monkey on my back.
Lex favored him with a last sad smile.
Can you?
Bruce was silent as Lex moved towards the door. He glanced over his shoulder and said,
I'm certain you'll need a little time to think about it. I'll have my secretary call yours in a few days.
With that, Lex Luthor turned, beckoning to Mercy, and stepped out of the door and made his way out of Stately Wayne Manor. Alfred returned after leading the pair out of the house and stepped next to Bruce, who was still staring at the flash drive in his hand.
That was certainly unusual, Master Bruce.
Yes, it was, he replied with a grunt. Not sure what his angle is.
You don't suppose he was actually sincere?
Alfred asked, with that flat, deadpan delivery that made Bruce suspect him of making a poor imitation of a joke. Bruce's raised eyebrow in mute reply was enough to make the butler crack a tiny smile.
Still,
Bruce stood and gestured to Alfred. He produced a small cell phone from his pocket and handed it over wordlessly to his master. Bruce tapped in a number from memory, still eyeing the flash drive in his hand.
Lucius? It's Bruce. I've had a very weird visit. No, it's not Madonna this time.
Lex Luthor.
Yes, that one. He just gave me all of LexCorp's secrets. Or so he says. I need some of our researchers to check this thing over. Full security measures, isolated server, clean room, the works. This could be some sort of trap. But if it's what he says it is, we need to know. Yes, if you have any LexCorp personnel available who could look this data over, that would be better. Thank you. Yes, send a courier to pick it up. I'll need the results right away.
Alfred accepted the phone back.
Is this wise, sir?
Perhaps not, he replied thoughtfully. But you saw him, right? There was something very strange about how Luthor was acting. He was lecturing me about wasted chances.
I suppose a case could be made for that if one were only observing your life from the outside, Master Bruce.
He nodded back. They were both mindful of the same thing, the possibility that the so-called drive was some sort of surveillance device. Wayne Manor had superb security, far better than one would possibly expect, even for the home of a rich and private recluse. But this was Luthor they were dealing with. The man's cunning and brilliance were unmatched. If there were some sort of way of bypassing Wayne Manor's security, Lex would be the one to find it. But still, his behavior was beyond strange, Bruce thought. He was about to leave the peach drawing room with its off-kilter floor and slightly out of true pictures, when Cassandra, dressed only in a black sweater, stepped into the room. She was barefoot and bedraggled, walking with an unconscious, graceful elegance.
Where did Bold Man go?
Bruce smiled at her lightly.
Bold Man, huh? Accurate as far as the description goes. He left already.
She nodded.
Watching,
she said, pointing up at the security camera hidden in the ceiling.
What did you think?
Truth.
Alfred's brow furrowed.
You believe he was telling the truth?
He did. He believed he was telling truth. Very sincere, but not all truth.
That's not surprising, Bruce said grimly.
No, not lying. Just holding something back. Very at peace. But there's anger there. A lot. It's in every move.
He's frustrated and angry, packed down tight, deep. Not obvious, but very there.
She replied haltingly, a slight frown on her brow.
But all truth to him.
So he really did mean what he said? Bruce asked solemnly. She nodded.
Yes. And it makes him angry.
She slammed a fist into the palm of her hand for emphasis.